This is Jordan Sekulow with a new Democrat presidential candidate announcing he'll be joining the race. 23 Democrats are going to be facing off just for the honor of taking on Donald Trump.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
It's a tough number when you really think about it. I mean, I thought the Republicans had a big field. I don't think they ever reached the 20 mark. I think it was in the mid-teens, and that was considered big, and they had to do those two-tiered debates. So I guess the Democrats have decided, let's follow that pattern. Maybe it will work like it did for Republicans. Ultimately, I will tell you, first, it was pretty distracting, actually. There's a lot of people on stage, which means even when you divide them, I attended one of the Republican debates when there were still that many candidates in the race. And, even over the course of like an hour and a half or 2 hour debate, they don't get a lot of time unless you get in. And so what it does encourage is a lot of infighting between candidates so that they get more time to talk. Because or else what you'll see is the kind of top three or four candidates, understandably so to some extent, get the most questions. And then the kind of side candidates on the stage, because usually that's how the stage is set. It's by, even on the top stage, those who barely made it will be on the far left, far right. And then you kind of move towards the middle of to the leader. They've got to kind of chomp at the bit, if you will, to get words in on some topics they may not even be asked about that are major topics, very important topics. So, again, we're taking your phone calls on politics today. I know you all love politics. 1-800-684-3110. First, we're going to focus in on what the Democrats have been up to. Then we're going to look at some of the polls, early polls. But I will tell you, very different than what we saw in the polls between like Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, where Donald Trump was almost always trailing. And really until the final few days before the election, I remember saying on this radio broadcast, did not look like he had a path to victory. And many inside his campaign, I mean, they could not find the numbers. So it had to be a silent majority that showed up. Well, whew, they showed up. But now some of that silent majority has gotten more and more emboldened. So you saw less Trump stickers maybe around that cycle because people were a little bit more careful and cautious about, do I support Donald Trump? I mean, that's one of my questions for you today. If you're a Trump supporter, maybe you didn't put the sticker on your car last election cycle because you have to, where you park your office or your friends and family or at church, even at church. I mean, seriously, this time around, do you think you're going to put that Trump Pence sticker on your car? That's a good question for the audience at 1-800-684-3110. Second question is this. Of these 23 Democrats, who do you think has a real shot at least going toe-to-toe with Donald Trump? I mean, de Blasio, who has not run New York City well, so I guess this is a good way for him to step out of that role and into the national spotlight more, ignoring kind of how New York has taken suddenly a very different turn since the days of Mayor Giuliani and Mayor Bloomberg. Where there's a lot of homelessness. It's still a great city. It's still a very expensive city. It's still the financial capital of the country, and it's a place where everyone around the world wants to visit. So I'm not knocking it that hard, but it is certainly on a path. It hasn't gotten there yet, but on a path to where it once was pre-Giuliani, pre-Bloomberg. And a lot of people forget that. A lot of people on the street, a lot of petty crime. And again, that's just talking about kind of like, we're talking about like Manhattan and the borough of Manhattan, not talking about some of the other boroughs, which, yes, Brooklyn has done well with the hipsters, but what about the other areas? It's all worth mentioning because now de Blasio joins 22 other candidates. Can't wait to go to Than Bennett on this. 22, a lot of them from Washington, D.C., a lot of quiet Washington offices, I guess, because they're all on the road already campaigning. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. This year, will you be putting that Trump Pence sticker on your car if you are a Trump supporter? And then second, who is the Democrat that you think even has the best chance? We'll go through some of the polling as well from the Democrat side about getting the nomination and the head versus Trump.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We're taking your calls and talking politics. Right now, we're focusing on the Democrat side because we now have a new candidate. And as we said yesterday, Mayor Bill de Blasio of New York made it official. He is now in the race for President. Than, I don't even want to do this for our radio audience, go through every one of these names because some of them are just inconsequential. Some may rise, you know, may rise up and then deserve more time. But 23... all of which are going to have a pretty easy time qualifying for some kind of debate stage, whether it's the tier one stage or tier two, but they are limiting that to 20. So three of them will not be allowed on the stage, and those start, the first debate's NBC. It's about 6 weeks, and then it's CNN the next month.
Yeah, you go through this list of 23, Jordan, and even those who follow these things closely, I think there are going to be names in there that people don't know. I mean, I think one of the interesting questions might be to ask people, how many Democrat candidates can you name off the top of your head? And I'd be surprised if most people can get past five, Jordan, and yet there are 23. We talked yesterday about all the infighting that was happening inside the intelligence community. That's going to be nothing, Jordan, compared to the infighting that is going to happen amongst these candidates as they vie, first of all, to try to land a spot on one of the debate stages. There's going to be a lot of infighting, and then, of course, after that as well. I would just say on a lighter note, Jordan, I look at these 23, my favorite, hands down, Michael Bennett, great last name. I mean, with a name like that, he should be the odds-on favorite, although I will tell you, he spells it wrong. He left off a T, so, you know, maybe I need to reconsider.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I look at, again, we'll start taking phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. The first two questions are, with this kind of, I think that, you know, we've been talking about this a lot in our team, is that first time around, you kind of could see a Trump sticker here and there, and it was a real big statement. More and more as I'm in a parking lot or driving around, and I'm in a pretty red state, but I will tell you, it's still... you can still kind of notice it when someone's got one. Now it's early to be putting one on right now. But I'm expecting to see a lot more Trump-Pence stickers on cars and in yards than last time around. And what's telling me that is the polling, that President Trump is no longer polling so low and then performing so high like he did in that last election cycle. He's performing kind of like you would expect, and even better than I think a lot of the Democrat pundits would hope he would be performing. We'll get to those polls soon. And then that second question I had for people, which is, who do you think could really go toe-to-toe with him at this point? I mean, yes, they've got their own fight to go through. But, I mean, I look at Obama. I mean, I look at Biden, I mean. So he's an Obama Democrat, very old school. He's aged. I mean, I think it's just fair to say. I'm not saying he's a low energy guy. I'm not saying that, but he has certainly aged since the time of kind of how you remember him as the vice president. He's gone through a lot of personal tragedy, but he kind of plays this. I'm not sure what side he's on. He's not really far left. He's not really a moderate either. But he is certainly leading in the polls right now. You get to a Cory Booker type fan, and he'll try to sound moderate, but I just want to remind everybody about his Spartacus fail. He's no moderate at all.
Yeah, no, he was the leading opponent of Judge Kavanaugh, Justice Kavanaugh, now in those hearings. Jordan, those were a made-for-campaign commercial moment for him. And look, whenever we talk about the brass politics of this, who can actually compete against Donald Trump and win the general election, Jordan, you've got to look at the electoral map, and you're going to have to win in the Rust Belt. I just think Cory Booker would be a disaster for Democrats. Again, they probably don't want my advice, but a disaster for Democrats in the Rust Belt. And honestly, that's probably why they say that Joe Biden has the best chance, because he's from there. He's from the Rust Belt. But even then, Jordan, I would propose this question back to you. Would putting forward the Obama standard bearer, the Obama mantle carrier inside the Rust Belt that has just gone through the economic revolution that they have, surging from a place of a really poor place to now a place where they're surging, is putting that standard bearer, the Obama administration standard bearer, up against Donald Trump, is that a good political strategy? So if that's the best candidate they have for a general election, Jordan, I think that's cause for concern inside the Democrat Party.
Governor Bullock of Montana, hard for me to imagine that a moderate red state Democrat governor gets through this process. I mean, I don't even think I need to go to Than on that. It just seems very difficult at this, not the best time. I mean, maybe he's running to be vice president or moderating influence somehow for as they make up kind of like their bigger team behind the Democrats. Then you get to Alfred Newman. Oh, wait, sorry, Mad Magazine reference to Mayor Pete. Mayor Pete, 37 years old, just a little bit older than me. He is the mayor of not a giant city, but a good city, a good town. I know we've got a lot of listeners there in South Bend, Indiana. Of course, Notre Dame nearby. Again, a pretty blue-collar town. He's a smart guy, young guy, pretty untested nationally. Than, he's gotten a lot of attention, I think, just because he's outside Washington.
Yeah, he's an untraditional candidate. He's raised the funds necessary to be around for a while. He is a fairly leftist candidate. Jordan, honestly, though, the most of his notoriety over the last couple months was a result of attacking the vice president. I think that got him attention in the short term, but honestly, I don't think that's a strategy for gaining the White House. Jordan, I think he's a dark horse. I would put him inside my top five. I've really only got five that I think have a chance at the nomination. But again, I think he's probably in the lower half of that top five.
Then you've got Castro, who was the HUD secretary, correct? That's that brother, I think, Than. I mean, so he's another Obama kind, maybe trying to appeal to Hispanic vote. It could be broader than that, but I mean, this field is just so big. We've only gone through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of the 23. I don't want this to be a boring show. The next one's de Blasio. We've talked enough about him. I mean, the guy couldn't – the Green New Deal, did he steal it from AOC? What was he doing thinking that it would be a good idea to have a rally inside Trump Tower? Again, it's not like New Yorkers love him. So if you're not loved by your own constituents, not a great sign. Then there's a congressman former congressman from Maryland, Delaney. I'm going to leave that at there right now. Tulsi Gabbard, who is somewhat popular for taking a harder line on the military, but not so popular for meeting with Syria's Assad. So sometimes she'll appear on the Fox News as play a more moderate role. I see no way she can get through the Democrat primary, but she may be an interesting voice on stage. We'll stop after these next two. Kirsten Gillibrand from New York, very liberal senator there, not polling very well. And then the person who was supposed to be and would have likely been and may still be the star if Biden hadn't run in the counter to Bernie Sanders was either going to be Kamala Harris or Elizabeth Warren. And early on, it looked like Kamala Harris was really eclipsing. She's the senator from California, Elizabeth Warren. I would still keep an eye on both of them. I mean, they have serious money and serious backing behind them. But when we look at these polls, and then there's some others, there's the names people have heard, Beto O'Rourke and Klobuchar. And of course, let's not forget our favorite old socialist, Bernie Sanders, who runs second to Biden in every single poll in every single state, basically. I think maybe in one state he's not in second, but he's in third because it's a home state of one of these folks. But, I mean, we're going to get to the polls in a minute. I want to get to your phone calls as well. The two questions I have for you is, are you going to be more bold in your support for Donald Trump and Mike Pence in their reelection effort? Maybe it's not a bumper sticker for you. Maybe it's not a yard sign, but it's talking about it, you know, and being more proud of it and not scared of it. 1-800-684-3110. And are you, do you believe that they're out of these 23 Democrats, any one of them right now could seriously go toe-to-toe with President Trump when he's in full campaign mode? Let's go right to the phones at 1-800-684-3110. Mary calling in from North Carolina on line three. Mary, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, thank you.
Hi, Mary. You're on the air.
Oh, the reason that I will not put a sticker of Trump and Pence on my vehicle is because I'm deathly afraid that somebody will smash my windshield in or damage my vehicle in some way. And the other thing...
Isn't that very telling, by the way, Mary, about the other side politically? I mean, you don't think much about, like, Republican youth or, like, Republican activists, even the more intense, like, smashing windows because you had a Joe Biden sticker on your car? I mean, or even a Bernie Sanders sticker on your car. I mean, I kind of laugh at those usually. I don't... It's usually it's an electric car of some kind.
Oh, see, I know.
Or Subaru. And I'm nothing against Subarus. But you can usually find those Bernie Sanders stickers on a Subaru Outback or something that you can plug in. But Mary, you're back on the air.
And getting back to the as far as Obama, I'm not Obama. Who would be the best candidate to run against Trump? I really can't tell you, but I'm assuming it's going to be Biden because the left will get more of Obama that way.
Yeah, he'd probably play better in a state like yours, like North Carolina, which is an important state that Obama was able to win and is becoming more Democrat. But if you go too far left or too far outside the mainstream, could easily, quietly help reelect president. And the down ballot races are important as well. When we come back, we take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We're also going to do a quick update. The White House released its immigration plan. I know many of you are going to want to hear this. We can take calls on that as well. 1-800-684-3110. But a lot of calls come in on politics. We haven't even gotten into the Democrat polling yet. And then the polling of Democrats versus Trump. Go to ACLJ.org too. A lot of great info there.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
I've got it in my hands. Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. President Donald J. Trump has announced his new immigration overhaul. And in this overhaul, he's released a two-pager. He also spoke in the Rose Garden yesterday from the White House. There will be a longer form that will be provided to Congress about his goals in moving forward. It's called Securing Our Border and Reforming Our Immigration System to Put America First. To quote Trump, it is time to begin moving towards a merit-based immigration system, one that admits people who are skilled, who want to work, who will contribute to our society, and who will love and respect our country. That is from President Trump. As we talked about yesterday, some of the headlines from this is cutting chain migration, a merit-based point system immigration system similar to Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and Japan, and ultimately ending the visa lottery. Now, how do you do that? Well, you've got to prioritize merit over chance, like a visa. Which is chance. You know, you put your name in, the lottery goes, and maybe your name gets pulled out. So you prioritize merit over chance. So the president's proposal will put our country's interests first by moving to that merit-based system. And here's what we're talking about. Instead of having most of this done through, because this is pretty shocking, folks, 70% of immigrants who come to the U.S. today, 70% who come legally are admitted through either family relationships, so chain migration, or through the visa lottery at total random. So they don't even have the family connection, just a lottery type system. That is not a good system long term. It's not a good system when you're rebuilding and building a country and getting ready for the next phase of employment and training that's necessary for that employment. So this proposal is calling Build America Visas. Selecting immigrants based on a point system featuring high school categories. And by the way, I want to make sure before I even go through those skill categories that the president's proposal prioritizes the immediate family staying together, family unification, ensuring that mothers and fathers and children will be at the front line to obtain a green card together. So it's not totally doing away with chain migration. It's limiting what that means, chain migration, and prioritizing the immediate family unit, which is the most important family unit, the mother, the father, the children. So understand that when I go through these skill categories. So the point system will be based off three categories: extraordinary talent. So you're able to do something that we need, whether it's tech world or manufacturing world or anything, that you've got a talent that we need in the U.S. And it could be lots of people that have that talent outside the U.S. We just need more, and that have it in the U.S., but we need more of it. A professional and specialized vocations. Do we need more nurses right now? Do we need more doctors in this area of the country? Do we need more people with special technical training in this area? An exceptional academic track record. So you're ready to begin in the workforce, and you've got this great academic record, so you're ready to go right when you hit the ground running in the United States of America. It would be prioritizing that. Here's kind of an example of how other countries have done it. Countries that liberals, by the way, love to point to oftentimes. So right now in the United States, you only get a visa, only about 12% of the people coming into the country get a visa based off their employment or skills. 66% are getting visas and green cards based off family relationships. 66% are coming in purely off chain migration. And then another 21% come in because of humanitarian, diversity, lottery, and others. So that lottery system. So the smallest category of immigrants coming in are those coming in who have that extraordinary talent, special skills, special vocations, and excellent academic track records. That's the smallest percent that are getting legally immigrated to the U.S., legally immigrated. The largest is just people bringing in their families once they get status, 66%. And then the second, and much higher than employment skill, and much lower still than chain migration, is this lottery and diversity program. So the lottery, the random program. Let's look at some other countries. Canada. Oh, the liberals love, they always say they're going to run to Canada every time a Republican president wins. They usually don't. In fact, I'm not sure of any examples of ones who actually have changed their citizenship to pay higher taxes in Canada and go through a state-run health system. But look at Canada. 63% of new immigrants there, legal immigrants, who are given a visa, green card, and a pathway, ultimately, if they so choose, to citizenship, 63% are based off employment and skill. Only 24% are based off family. So that means more like immediate family can come, but not everybody that you're related to. That's, again, compare that to 66% in America of family chain migration. So this is Canada, 63% employment and skill, 24% family, and humanitarian and diversity, only 13% in their lottery. New Zealand, 57% is employment and skill, 35% family, 8% lottery. Australia, 68% skill, 30% family, 2% lottery. Japan, 52% skill, employment, family, 31%, humanitarian diversity lottery, and other, 17. Here is how the president wants to change our numbers to be more in line with the countries that the liberals love, like Canada, New Zealand, Australia, and Japan. He wants it to be, for the United States, 57% based off employment and skills. So 57% of the people coming legally to the country will get visas and potentially pathways to citizenship based off the employment and skill level they have. Only 33% will be based off family. That goes to that goal of prioritizing the immediate family, mothers, fathers, and children. And then taking that visa lottery and humanitarian and this big word other down from 21% to 10%. These are common sense changes that need to be made to our immigration system. And you can always alter this in the future if necessary. If there's a giant humanitarian crisis somewhere in the world, you can always alter it. But we need these changes now. We talked about it yesterday on the broadcast. I wanted to make sure we got through the plan for you. We'll get back to politics now. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's go right to the phones. Let's go to Jim in Virginia online too. Jim, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you. Thank you for all you do, Jordan. My wife and I are passionate givers to ACLJ financially. And regarding Trump stickers, we not only believe in Trump stickers, I got Trump 2020 flags flying for my car. Regarding Biden, I believe he is the choice the Democrats are going to get around and support, because my research, anyone can find this, so, but you have to do a little deeper research. That, of all entities, the Vatican has gotten behind Joe Biden. 1 year to the day, they announced that they believe Biden to be the one and that they'll support it. 1 year to the day of their prediction, that's when Biden announces his candidacy. So that's my input.
Well, I'm not so worried about the Vatican. I think in the United States of America, Catholics will make up their choice on their own. And again, there's a lot of diversity amongst the Catholic Church in the United States of America based on where you are in the country. The level of devoutness, which we always look at too when we're talking about evangelical Christians, what does that mean anymore in the United States of America? So, listen, I think Joe Biden is likely the leading candidate. I mean, he is the leading candidate right now. What does that tell you about the Democrat Party that was supposed to be, you know, this leftist new party? I mean, are the young people going to go knocking on doors for Joe Biden? Are they going to really help get out the vote for Joe Biden? Second half hour coming up at Jay Sekulow Live. We'll be right back.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
Welcome back to Jay Seculo Live. This is Jordan Seculo. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. We're talking politics first. We're going to get into a little bit about what Bill Barr, the Attorney General of the United States, told Fox News in an exclusive sit-down with our good friend Bill Himmer, and specifically a part I think our audience will want to hear. Let me break down for you just quickly and then get to the phone calls, kind of where the Democrats stand as we speak polling-wise. There's 23. I'm not going to go through 23 names every time. But in the kind of national, like kind of how are these Democrats doing nationally? That's never the best poll. But this far out, it's sometimes better than even going state by state. Joe Biden, his Real Clear Politics average up until just yesterday is at 39%. So it's very high. Trailing him nationally is Bernie Sanders, and he is coming in a far behind second place at 16%. A lot of people did not like his felons voting and Sarnoff brother voting from prison in Boston or wherever he's being held, that he should have the right to vote in elections. But he's still a sizable amount of money and a lot of supporters. But he's got some challengers in that left lane. You look at lanes. Biden has the Obama lane. And right now that's the most popular. But it's not like he's at 51%. Okay, he doesn't have it locked. A few missteps along the way, and one of these candidates, and there could be a surprise candidate. Always give space for a surprise candidate, because Biden's topping out at most places in the 30s, high 30s, but in the 30s, which means he is beatable if the left were to coalesce around another candidate. Now, that's always a big if, because politicians, they don't like dropping out of races and coalescing around people. They like being on the stage. So that could be a long way away from now. After Sanders, it's single digits, folks. So, I mean, Biden at 39% nationally in the Real Clear, and this is amongst Democrats in the Real Clear Politics average. Sanders at 16%. Then Elizabeth Warren at 8. Kamala Harris at 7. Mayor Pete at 6. Beto O'Rourke down at 4. Vanity Fair cover really helped. Cory Booker at 2%, Spartacus, he needs a Spartacus moment to get back in this seriously. Klobuchar, 1%, Castro, 1%, Gabbard, 0.9, Yang, 0.9, and he wants to give everybody $1,000 a month. Inslee, 0.7, Gillibrand, 0.7. This obviously doesn't have de Blasio in it yet, though I would imagine he'd be pretty low on that list as well. And you've got, I think, a whole host that are not even polling at that level. In fact, we have a breakdown of who would be qualified at this moment for the first Democrat debate, which is in 6 weeks. And they're going to have to do this funky system. If we have time, we can try to go through some of it, of two different debates, same night, two different tiers, two stages, two different candidates, sets of candidates. And it's going to be based off of kind of how did you qualify? Well, there's ways to qualify. You can qualify by polls, and you need a total of 3 polls showing you what percent is it exactly? 1%. Okay, so not a real high bar, but when you have 23 candidates, it can be difficult. So you can qualify by poll. That's just to get you into one of the debates, not top tier necessarily. You can qualify with a poll and donor requirements. That's the 65,000 individual donors. Who, by the way, if you are a senator, a governor, or even a congressman or a mayor, could all come from your area of the country or your state or area of the state. But if they're individual donors and you were at 1%, you would then be in kind of the top tier. And you can qualify by just having the amount of donors, the 65,000. There's 3 currently not qualified. I've never heard of any, all 3 of these. Moulton, Massam, Williamson, maybe Than later. And the broadcast can correct me. I don't even know who those people are. I'm even seeing their pictures, and I can't place them. I'm not even sure if I'm saying their names right. It's nothing against them. It's just pretty bold to run for president when your name ID is that low nationally before, and you don't have a lot behind you. Maybe some of these do. Maybe they're billionaires ready to throw a lot of money in. We're going to take your calls. We got a lot of calls. 1-800-684-3110. When we come back on Jay Seculo Live.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Talking politics, I want to get right to some of your phone calls. People have been hanging on the line. Let's get right to it. Andrea in Texas on line six. Andrea, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you so much. I guess my thing is, well, first I want to say thank you for your pro-life, for what you do to save babies, because I run a Christian adoption agency, so I just want to say thank you.
We appreciate what you do. You know, I always say this when I'm talking to pro-life pregnancy centers, adoption centers, all this pro-life work that we do legally, legislatively, policy-wise, it would mean very little if there weren't organizations like yours that you work for or work at and run, and pro-life pregnancy centers as well, but also the adoption agencies, because, you know, we'd be fighting for something, and they still try to say, well, what are you going to do with all these babies? And we always have a place to point to, because there's so many great organizations like yours, Andrea, so we appreciate what you do.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, it's a ministry. It really is. So yep. Thank you guys. I was just going to say that I would love to have to proudly put a Trump sticker on my Subaru Outback. Thank you. Because I heard what you said earlier.
That
about
would
the
shock a mini Subaru Outback. I think that'd be wonderful.
But I would love to proudly put that on there. But the problem is that there's a double standard, and that a lot of these radical liberals or Democrats, I'm afraid they're going to key my car, just like Mary said earlier. And
no,
I would love
it.
To be able to do that. But I just feel like I can't, because people, there's a double standard. It's just unreasonable.
I think there's going to be a group of individuals, Andrew, I think as it gets more and more heated, where you might start saying, you know what? Now, you may be in a position, too, where you're parking and you're doing the pro-life adoption work. So I understand you might not want to put political stickers on your car. Maybe that's not, some people, that's just not a thing they do. They don't do it in their yard. But this may get to such a breaking point, the nastiness of this campaign, that I feel like people may just say, you know, I've had enough of this Russian hoax. I've had enough of the Russian collusion junk. You've been told by Bob Mueller. You've been told by the Attorney General. You've been told over and over again, you know, I'm going to put this sticker on as an act of defiance. Key my car. You know, you want to, you know, it'll just be a badge of honor that you are, that the other side is moronic enough to go around keying people's cars because of who they support to be our commander in chief, duly elected, a commander in chief who was spied on by our government and still won the election handedly. But I understand totally, Andrea, your concern 100%. Let's go to Dan calling in, I think from Michigan, online five. Dan, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, how's it going? Yeah, I think they're just moving further and further away from the American people. They're just going to push more people to the Trump administration. And like Fan said, I can recognize maybe two or three that I can name. One of them was vice president recently, so I would know who he is anyway.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot. It's 23. I mean, it's like a lot of the Democratic caucus, and they get cover from other Democrats, so they don't have to take tough votes or be the tough voice. But a lot of goofy ones too. I mean, I don't mean this like a mean way. I just mean like they've had some major gaffes leading up to announcing for president. Like, I'm an Indian, American Indian. Yeah, I'm Native American, and I'm gonna pull out a stat for you, and the stat's so low. And by the way, you didn't even consult any of the tribal groups about what it, even if you had the stats that were decent. She didn't do that. Wasn't a member of a tribal group. But second, the numbers were so low. I mean, I think there were a lot of Americans who would have much more Native American ancestry that would not consider themselves to be Native American. So that was Elizabeth Warren. Spartacus, I'd like to call him now, Cory Booker. He had his moment. Kamala Harris is still apologizing for putting criminals in jail. And again, I think you can look at that policy and question it, but it's never good to start off your campaign in a liberal primary apologizing. Even Bernie Sanders had some big mistakes then.
Yeah, he did. I mean, look, there's a running joke in Washington, D.C. that at any given time, there's 535 people who think that they're the next president of the United States. And I think there's some truth to that. But Jordan, I'll be real honest with you. The only reason I know most of these names on this list is because they are here. And this is what my job is, to know the people in Washington, D.C. So the people on this list who are from Washington, D.C., I know. But, you know, in the last segment, Jordan, you were running through a couple of these names who maybe aren't D.C. politicians. You said the name Wayne Messam. I have no idea who that was. I had to look him up just now. So once you get outside of my sphere, I think there are a lot of people running who are doing it for maybe their own reasons or maybe even noble reasons, but they are people that the American people don't know, Jordan. And I would turn the tables on them. I would say, even though I know these names that are from Washington, D.C., I don't think most of the people across the country can get past five or six or seven of these names. Once you get past former vice presidents, maybe prominent senators, Jordan, I think there's a lot of people on these lists who are just running for their own purposes, and the American people don't know who they are.
Yeah, I mean, one, I guess I had seen before maybe on TV, Moulton. He's a congressman. He's not yet qualified for the stage. He's a Washington, D.C. guy. The other one who's not qualified, you said, is a mayor, Messam, a former athlete, professional athlete. And then Williamson, she is an author. So, again, it's just very unique. And, again, I think all three of them could probably end up qualifying based off the low level you have to qualify, either 1% in polls or 65,000 individual donors. That's not that high of a bar if you've got any kind of constituency whatsoever, being a mayor, being a congressman, even being an author. I mean, if people are buying what you're writing and they like what you're doing, I mean, you feel like you could find 65,000 people if you could get enough money into the fundraising campaign itself. I want to talk to Harry Hutchinson, and then we're going to continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110, because we said after yesterday's broadcast, when we saw the news about Brennan and Clapper really turning on Jim Comey about the use of the dossier as the basis for anything in the counterintelligence investigation, that would also include a FISA warrant. And then there was comeback from the FBI saying, no, we've got Brennan, who is, by the way, I mean, like, the least, he's really anti-Trump. Clapper tries to, like, kind of not answer questions, but he's no fan of Trump either. But Brennan is really anti-Trump, and supposedly he told the FBI to use it or something like that. I mean, so there's this back and forth game going on, Harry. I call it the vipers, a den of vipers, because this is the swamp. Take away whatever partisan nature they came from, who appointed them first, Republican or Democrat. These were people who stayed through administration. They usually aren't so partisan. Now that they've gotten themselves in a partisan war, they have become the den of vipers.
I think that's correct. So it's important to note that in the wake of the Mueller investigation and in the wake of the conclusions which issue forth from that investigation, no collusion, no conspiracy, and no obstruction of justice, many individuals who are former deep state actors, such as James Comey, FBI General Counsel, James Baker, James Clapper, and John Brennan, they are now in the midst of a feeding frenzy, essentially trying to throw their fellow conspirators, let me use that term, under the bus so that they can now escape blame. But I think their efforts will prove unavailing going forward, in part because there is now a real attorney general at the Department of Justice, and he has launched a comprehensive investigation. I should say he has launched, if you will, three or four investigations. One involving John Huber in Utah, another involving a U.S. attorney in Connecticut, and the Inspector General of the Justice Department, Michael Horowitz, is also investigating the origins of the so-called Russia collusion narrative, which was largely fictional, grounded in a salacious, unverified dossier. And it's important to note that the dossier was unverifiable, yet the FBI relied upon it. And so I think, to use a phrase that people have used before, the chickens are now coming home to roost, and the individuals who are now being targeted for these investigations are pointing fingers at one another.
Attorney General Barr, who I have a lot of respect for and got to know during a previous presidential campaign, actually, not President Trump's, he did an interview with Fox News. First time he's really done an interview like this, wide-ranging. I encourage you to check out the whole interview. But for purposes of what we're discussing now, take a listen. Bill Himmer, a good friend of ours, asked Bill Barr this question about the dossier.
Can you tell us what the Steele dossier had to do with this? What role did that play?
Well, that's one of the questions, you know, that we're going to have to look at. It's a very unusual situation to have opposition research like that, especially one that on its face had a number of clear mistakes and a somewhat jejune analysis, and to use that to conduct counterintelligence against an American political campaign is a strange would be a strange development. I'm not sure what role it played, but that's something we have to look at.
Jejune, simplistic, Harry. I mean that is what it was. I mean, it was pretty. It was kind of like a locker room kind of. It was extremely salacious, I guess, is the nice word to say it, but very simple.
I think that's correct. Essentially, what we had was amateur hour at both the DOJ and the FBI, two organizations that had a distinguished history of professionalism in the past, and they have undermined their own reputation, and their conduct demands an investigation.
As soon as this show is over, I want Harry's blog tweeted out from my account, ACLJ's account, my dad's Twitter account, Facebook. Let's get it out everywhere. So people can read this who are listening to the broadcast now. It's a great piece by Harry Hutchinson on this issue of how the deep state is now, and these actors, as their narrative collapses, are coming after each other. We get back to politics. We come back on Jay Sekulow Live.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Wow, we're already at the final segment. It's a quick show when there's 23 Democrats running for president. You got to laugh about it a little bit. It's early in the process. You think the field is going to be dwindling, but then someone else gets in, like the mayor in New York City, which you know would usually be a big deal, except for it's Bill de Blasio. Let's go back to the phones, 1-800-684-31. I'm going to do these in order, how long people have been waiting. That's what we do in the final segment. Daniel in South Dakota on line one. Daniel, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call.
Thanks,
earlier on today, you've been...
You still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
All right.
Okay, so earlier on today, you basically mentioned about people coming legally.
Yes.
And based on the skill. So my example is my parents were missionaries for 25 years in Paraguay.
Right.
And they were moved. They were allowed to move here in the U.S. because my dad was hired as an assistant pastor at First United Methodist Church in Rapid City. So that is based on the skill that he has
Yes.
as a missionary worker.
Right.
So that's an example I wanted to give
Yeah,
you.
Skill is very broad. It's still, it's like, sometimes I think, Daniel, people think of it, and Than, people think of skill being very exclusionary to, like, you got to be some master computer coder. But having a special skill could be filling a need at a church. Like, maybe it's a Spanish speaker. Maybe there's a Paraguayan community, or at least a Spanish-speaking community that needs to be served. And we need somebody who's kind of like a lead pastor and head of missions who understands the mission field. So someone like Daniel's family and parents can immigrate legally under that.
Yeah, Jordan, Daniel's call is a great one for two specific reasons, not just the skill of his father, but also the offer of employment. That is worth points under the merit-based
yeah.
system as well. So he had an offer for employment. And Jordan, the second reason that it's so relevant is the prioritization of the immediate family. That his father could still bring his wife and his children, keep that nucleus family together under this plan. It's not cutting off chain migration, family migration at that level. It's just saying that, you know, Daniel's third cousin can't come just because his father has an offer in Grand Rapids.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
We go to Roger, New Hampshire, online for an interesting take on things with the 23 Democrat candidates. Hey, Roger, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're in one of those states where, oh man, you've probably got all 23 of them already in your backyard already.
Live free or die, baby. I'm not stumped by this Democratic entry into the presidential race. As a matter of fact, I think we overlook something. That is, we're looking at the polls as if the race is going on. But the Democratic strategy is simply this. Daily, there are 23-1 people talking about their platform.
Yeah.
23 guys against Trump daily on the news.
That, you know, I think that may work for a little bit, Roger, but ultimately those 23 have to beat each other. And it's not easy making a name for yourself when you are one of 23. You kind of seem small. This is my other take on it, compared especially to a Donald Trump-like figure. You seem small. You're all your infighting and the debate staging going on. I think actually that can backfire. Yes, I get your idea of you could have 23 people and they can say, well, we're just covering the election, so it's 23 people bashing Trump. But they will switch to a point where they've got to distinguish themselves first to even have a chance at going at Trump. And I think 23 actually diminishes all 23. What do you think, Harry?
Well, I think that is true, and I also think we are at a point in the political season wherein the Democrats, to some extent, are engaged in a bit of a love fest.
Yeah.
In other words, they haven't taken the gloves off. They haven't attacked one another's specific positions on the issues. And so I think things may change fairly rapidly. Either during or after the upcoming debate season,
yeah.
Because if you want to win, you are going to have to come out, I think, swinging against Biden, against Sanders,
yeah.
perhaps against Elizabeth Warren, if you want to prevail in
yeah.
the end. So it's also important to note that many of these candidates are perhaps on a glorified vanity tour, In other words, they are expanding the power of their own brand as opposed to advancing a political debate.
I think it's important to point out, as Thad Bennett did, I mean, Trump had the 14 candidates running with him on the Republican side. He stood out, and the media also focused their coverage on him because he stood out. So is there that standout amongst Democrats, which would be better for them? Is it Joe Biden? Is it good for him to be the standout? I mean, these are some of these questions I can't answer because I'm not a Democrat activist or campaign. That's not the world I come from. So they have to answer that for themselves and decide. And they've got a long path of doing that. Let's go back to the phones. Is it Ella in Virginia on line three? Ella, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you, Jay. Thank you so much for all you guys do.
Thanks, Ella.
I have never called into this program, but I thought to call in because I'm an immigrant.
Yep.
I'm a Nigerian-American.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, we qualified Nigerians, we had always wondered at the previous method of allowing just anybody into the U.S. It never made sense to us.
Yep.
Why would you not want the best from other countries? Where is that law that speaks against getting qualified people and the best into your country?
There's no law that prevents you from changing the law. It's just changing current immigration laws, and it's really about changing the percentages. Like we said and we walked through, it's just changing the percents. So instead of saying we're going to allow this many percent based off skill-based, we're now going to allow, I'll pull the exact numbers for you very quickly. I can do it for you. Here they are. So instead of allowing 12% of people in based off employment and skill, we can say, hey, we're going to switch that to 57%. No law stops that. You just have to change the current law. Very easy. I mean, it's just Congress passing a law and the president signing it. No constitutional amendments, nothing like that. Family. So, of course, you want to keep the immediate family, but you don't have to have massive chain migration. So you take that from 66%, which is by far the largest group we're allowing in right now legally, and you change it to 33%. So you cut it by two-thirds. You're really cutting it in half. But you're making it about a third of the people coming in, and which is still a pretty big group. And then you're moving down this lottery program to just 10%, not totally doing away with it because there's also some humanitarian space in there, always necessary. And by the way, none of these numbers prevent you from changing it if there's a humanitarian crisis somewhere in the world and the U.S. can take in a lot of people for help. I think that's very important to point out. But as you said, it is absurd that employment and skill is the lowest, hardest way to immigrate to our country because we only allow 12% of the people in based off their employment, so they've got a job offer, and their skills. 66% of the people we're letting in right now is just because of a connection to a family member, and another 21% includes that visa lottery. So President Trump wants to change to 57% employment and skill, 33% family, 10% humanitarian diversity lottery and other, which is still a lot. I think if this doesn't make it through Congress now, these numbers are going to be excellent when it's a debate between Donald Trump versus one of the 23. William, I could not get to your call today. I'm sorry for that. You know, I know William is a good caller. Let's get him one of our books that he doesn't have signed by my dad. I appreciate you holding on to the very end, William. We just did not have time. Took a lot of calls today, and you all had a lot to say. It was a great Friday broadcast to talk politics, to get into the numbers as well, as we're getting closer to those first Democrat debates and the field keeps getting larger on the Democrat side. And also to cover, remember Harry Hutchinson's great new blog up at aclj.org. We'll be sharing it on all of our social media, as well as we're going to be sharing kind of a breakdown of President Trump's immigration plan that I went through. So share that with your friends and family as well. Have a great weekend. We will talk to you next time on Jay Sekulow Live. Go to aclj.org.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture. And the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.